We're going to read God's word now. It's really the highlight of our time together, being able to hear God speak to us. And so grab your Bible, and we're going to encourage you week after week to keep bringing your own Bible or your device as we follow along and listen to what God says. So Romans 8, verse 1, and Edwina's going to read for us.
I'm reading from the NIV version. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit are of God, are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Edwina. Oh man, it's so good to be able to speak to people and not to a camera. I'm so glad to be doing that. Let me pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be in the presence of your people, but also in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when two or three are gathered together, he is there in our midst. Father, we thank you for the blessing of being together, and we pray that your word would refresh us now. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, are your better days ahead of you or behind you? Some of us, we say it's ahead of us. Some of us, we say it's behind us. So many people talk about their life as though their better days have already happened. You know, they talk about the glory days. They yearn for things that have once happened. They look back over their past achievements and they like to live in the past. But for some people, they think their better days are ahead of them. And they think about, you know, the future holiday or the future relationship or the future kids or the job or something bad has happened like COVID. And you think, man, I'm so just waiting for this to be over. And you're looking ahead to future days where you can have the birthday that you always wanted or the wedding that you wanted to have or the, you know, you want more people to come to your funeral maybe. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I want you to know that if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got everything to look forward to. No matter what happens to you now, you've got every reason to say that my better days are ahead of me because there's a glorious future that's coming your way. Now, we've come to the last in our series of Salvation's Golden Chain, and we've been looking at over the last, what, 5 or 6 weeks, 4 weeks, about what God has done from eternity past to eternity future to work at our salvation. It's all God's work. It's what he has done. And we've just been focusing on two little verses in Romans 8. And these two little verses, have you noticed, are just so jam-packed full of good stuff. You know, good, solid nutrients for us to just, you know, suck the marrow of the bone dry and just to feast on it. Let's read those two verses again. It'll come on the screen. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So as we've been going through these verses, we've seen that God foreknows us, which means that God has foreloved us. He put his love on us and he chose us. And then he calls us to be his, and then he justifies us, which means that he pardons us so we can have a right relationship with him, and then he will glorify us in the future. Actually, that's not what it says, is it? Did you notice? Did you see what it says? He foreknew, past tense, he predestined, past tense, he called, past tense, he justified, past tense, he glorified, past tense. I mean, we would say if you're a Christian, God's put his love on you, he's called you, he's justified you, and one day he will glorify you. That's what we'd say, wouldn't we? That's not what Paul is saying. How can Paul say that you've already been glorified? Does anyone here feel glorified? Do you feel that way? Has it already happened to you? Well, what we're going to see tonight is we're going to think about what this means that we are glorified. And we're going to see three things. We're going about being glorified. We're going to see, first of all, that you are not what you used to be. You're not what you used to be. And then we'll see you are not yet what you will be. Right? And then we'll see that God is using the bad things in life to do it. All right, you're not what you used to be, you're not yet what you will be, and God's using the bad stuff in your life to do it. So first, you're not what you used to be. See, Paul says he's already glorified you, past tense. Here's what he's saying. Look at our passage. He says in verse 28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do you see the promise there? See, the promise is that God is at work in all things For who? For the good of those who love him, those who have been called. See, God is at work in all things for your good. What is the good that God is at work doing in your life? Well, the next verse tells us, verse 29. For, it's an explanation. Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Do you see what the good is that God is doing right now in your life? He's conforming you. He's changing you to be more like Jesus. That's the good. And he's using all things to do it. He's using the circumstances in your life. He's using your singleness. He's using your marriage. He's using your children. He's using your retirement. He's using your schoolmates. He's using your flatmates. He's using your mates to make you more like Jesus. Anything and everything God is at work in to make you more like his Son. Do you see what it means to be glorified? It means to be conformed into the beautiful image of Jesus. See, God's made you to be glorious. He's made you to be shiny. He's made you to be like Jesus. The glory has begun in you right now. It's what the Bible elsewhere calls sanctification. You know what that word sanctification means? It means being made holy. Now, there's a sense in which, because of Jesus, you are already holy, right? You're already perfectly holy, set apart for God. You know what the problem is? We just don't live that way. We don't think that way. We don't talk that way. And our behavior needs to catch up to our status. Our behavior needs to catch up to who we really are. And see, God is at work and he's changing you. He's changing your behavior. He's changing your attitudes. He's changing your words. He's changing your thought patterns. He's changing your values to line up with Jesus. See, when God glorifies his children, what he does is he gives them the inward beauty of holiness. The glory has begun. You're not what you used to be. You're a work in progress. Do you know why God needs to do this in your life? Do you know why God needs to make you into the image of his Son? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that we were made to be in God's image. Listen to these words. Genesis 1, 27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. See, we were made to be reflectors. That's what an image is, okay? An image reflects something of someone else. We were made to reflect God. We're like mirrors who are supposed to show to people God's reflection. We're to show off God's kindness and his love and his compassion and his justice and his mercy. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to show off his glory. But then we decided to stop worshiping God and we decided to live for our own glory. We decided to be glory snatchers and to take away the glory of God from him and to take it for ourselves. And the Bible reminds us quite darkly in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We don't live up to the glory of God. We don't mirror God's glory to others in the way that we should. We need to get back to his glory. And the way that his glory comes back to us is in Jesus. Jesus Christ, he's the glory of God. Jesus Christ, he's the true image of God. Jesus came to be the true glory of God, to repair that damaged image of God in us. This is what Paul says elsewhere in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He says, and we all, with unveiled faces, that's not us right now, we've got our veils on, don't think about that. We all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Do you know what's happening in your life? As you contemplate the Lord's glory. You know what's happening inside you? You're being transformed. As you look at the Lord Jesus Christ with a steady gaze, you know what happens? You become more and more like him from one degree of glory to another. You're being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. Glory renewal is taking place in your life. And do you notice Paul says who this comes from? It comes from the Lord. This is God's work. This is what God is doing through his Spirit right now in your life. It's happening inwardly. You know what God is doing? He's making you an inward beauty. His glory is coming down on you. You're not what you used to be. I saw this when I regularly used to visit nursing homes. I used to run a church service in a nursing home month after month, and I would go there. And I tell you, when you're in a nursing home, your outer beauty is fading, right? And it's when you're in a home like that, ugly inside, right? That's the work of the Spirit, to give you this inner glory so that you will be more like Jesus. So let me ask you, what are you giving yourself to? Are you giving yourself to becoming more like Jesus? Because that's what God wants to do in your life. Are you fighting and working and praying and studying and straining and striving to be more like Jesus? There's a guy who comes to morning church, Trevor, and I met with him a few weeks ago for a coffee, and he told me that at work, every day at morning tea, you know what he does? He sits down in the lunchroom and he opens his Bible and he reads it. And he underlines verses and he writes them out and he studies it. You know what God is doing? While he's doing that, God is changing him on the inside to make him more like Jesus. That's the work that God is at work to do. God has shared his glory with us. He doesn't force his glory upon us when we die. No, he's working it out right now in our life. And this glory means that you and I are not what we're supposed to, we're not what we used to be, right? But secondly, this glory means that you are not yet what you will be. We're not what we will be at the moment because what Jesus has done is he's promised us a grand and glorious future that is so certain. There's a glory that started now and it's going to continue until it's revealed in you. Look at Romans 8 verse 17. It says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Oh, we're sharing in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's coming. And verse 18 says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Do you see? There's a glory that will be revealed in us. It's the idea that it's already there at work in us. You just can't see it physically at the moment. But on that day, it will be revealed. You will see it for what it is. On that day, you will shine as you reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21 says that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Do you realize creation is waiting for liberation? But do you know where the liberation comes from? The liberation comes when we become glorious. We are brought into our freedom. That's what creation is longing for us to be brought into our freedom. On that last day, a glory is going to come down on us. We're going to be radiant. We're going to be dazzling. We're going to shine. There's a future glory that we're looking forward to. You aren't what you used to be, but you are not yet what you will be. Oh, if only you knew what you will be. Wouldn't that change so much of how you live right now? If you knew what was coming, There's a glorious future that's going to be ours. Here's how C.S. Lewis puts it. He says, at present, we are on the outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. We discern the freshness and purity of morning, but they do not make us fresh and pure. We cannot mingle with the splendors we see, but all the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumor that it will not always be so. Someday, God willing, we shall get in. Won't that be great? See, at the moment, we're on the outside, but on that day, we will be on the inside, and it will be dazzling. This is, friends, what the Bible calls hope. Okay? This is what we have to look for. That's what hope is. Hope is looking forward to the future. And one day there will be a new heavens and a new earth. One day you will have a redeemed body. One day you will see your loved ones that you have lost in Christ. One day you won't be able to lose your temper. Won't that be great? One day you won't be able to sin anymore. It will all be gone. It will be a wonderful day. But do you know, all those things are loose change. You know what the real glory will be on that day? Do you know the thing that makes the gospel good news? Do you know what it is? It's on that day you will be able to see the glory of God. And you'll see with your own eyes the glory of God displayed in the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be changed and you will enjoy him forever. You will reflect his glory. It's not your glory. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's about his glory. And friends, the present suffering that you're going through, I know it's hard, but let me tell you, it's nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in you. Because think about it, the very second that you step out into the new heavens and the new earth, the very second that you look around and you look around at the new world that you are part of and you look over your brand new body and you're greeted by the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, the worst suffering that you've been through will be like a bad dream compared to what you will see. COVID-19 will just be like a runny nose when you enter into the new heavens and the new earth. See, when you have the hope of glory, it makes all the difference. See, Paul is not a pretender. Paul is saying, yes, life is cruel. Life isn't about, you know, dancing through the raindrops and it's not about rainbows and unicorns. No, Paul's not saying you have to convince yourself life is good. No, Paul's saying life can be pretty brutal at times. Life can be really hard. Do you realize in our own church at the moment, there's someone in hospital with shingles. There's someone else who's also in hospital who's had two hips replaced. There are people who struggle with depression. There's people who are missing loved ones because of death or distance. And those are just the ones I know about, right? There's people who are struggling to make ends meet. Life can be pretty brutal at times. But do you know what's going to make you live a beautiful life? Do you know what's going to keep you sane? It's knowing that glory is coming. And our sufferings now, what they're doing is they're growing hope in us to make us long for that new heaven and that new earth. So, how do you become more glorious? Here's the final point. You know what God's doing to make you more glorious? He's using the bad things in your life to make you shine. To make you more glorious. Your suffering now is not wasted on you. God is using that to make you glorious. See, we're told over and over again in the Bible that glory and suffering go together. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. See what God's doing? See, your light and momentary troubles, your suffering, it's going to pass. God is using that to make you glorious. Your inward person, it's being renewed day by day. Your suffering is being used by God to achieve an eternal glory. You're being prepped for the new heavens and the new earth. Just like a tree. You know, when you prune a tree, I don't know if trees have feelings or they, you know, say ouch or anything like that, but, you know, I'm sure it hurts when you prune a tree. But when the tree sprouts back, it comes back even stronger, doesn't it? It comes back better. And that's what God is doing in the suffering. He's using the suffering for your glory. How does suffering make you more glorious? You know what it does? Suffering makes you more dependent upon God. Have you seen that in your life? I've seen it in my life. You know, when I suffer, you know what happens to me? My pride gets broken. I become more humble. I lose my self-sufficiency and I become more dependent upon God. And friends, that is a wonderful place to be. That's when the glory of Christ shines through you. Because when you're more humble, you know what happens? You have more potential to understand people. You have more potential to empathize. And you can have compassion for others. And you can have insight and wisdom, right? And that happens in the soil of suffering and trials. You become more dependent upon God. But it's also is the way of Jesus. Do you know there was a pattern to Jesus' life? See, the pattern in Jesus' life was full of suffering. Do you realize the life of Jesus, it was full of rejection? His own family didn't understand him. His friends deserted him. He was despised. He was rejected. He felt forsaken by his own father on the cross. He was a victim of injustice. But his attitude was, not my will, but yours be done. He was faithful. He was trusting. He was obedient. And when we suffer, we're becoming like him. We're becoming like the man of sorrows. And his suffering ended up in glory, and your suffering will end up in glory. See, the bad things are coming into your life to change you to be more like him. Suffering is giving you the same pattern of weakness that Jesus had. It's molding you into the great character that we see in Jesus' life. Friends, here's, you know why we can suffer in the end? It's because the one piece of suffering that can really destroy you has been taken away. Do you know the one piece of suffering that can really destroy you, that you'll never ever recover from? You never walk away from this one. You know what it is? It's being cast out of the presence of God. When you're cast out of the presence of God, you'll never recover from that. That's for eternity. You never come back from that. But do you realize that Jesus Christ has taken that away for you? He's taken that in your place. You'll never be cast out of the presence of God if you put your trust in Jesus. And do you know what that means for your suffering? That means that you can suffer anything for him. You can go through anything for Jesus. He has suffered not so that you would never suffer, but so that you would never suffer being cast out of the presence of God, but so that when other suffering comes into your life, your life will move from being a lump of coal into a diamond. That's the work that God is doing in your life. And, of course, you know what the real suffering is. The real suffering for us is often just saying no to sin. You ever found that? You know, when you have to keep saying no to sin, no to sin, no to sin. That hurts. But that's when suffering comes, and that's when God will use that to make you more like Jesus. So let me finish. Let me ask us some questions as we conclude. Are you chasing after the glory of Christ, or are you chasing after your own glory? As I think about this for me personally, you know, I think about, you know, I've got a little boy who won't sleep, and I, you know, don't get much sleep, and it makes me grumpy, right? And I think, man, I wish I could get more sleep. And I think to myself, I don't need to be grumpy. Tiredness doesn't mean that I should be grumpy, because I want the glory of Christ to shine in my life, to my wife and my child and the people that I love, my church. Tiredness doesn't need to get in the way of that. You know, I need to keep fighting that and making a decision to let the glory of Christ shine. And so let me ask you some questions. Will you be strong like Christ? Will you work to defeat anything that's going to take you away from the strongest person in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you be compassionate like Christ? Will you show to others the compassion of Jesus, even when it hurts you? Will you be wise like Christ? Will you be discerning in the way that you live as you admire the one who is all wise? And will you be holy like Christ, so that you can run away from anything that is unholy and anything that's going to stop you from loving the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you fight for Christ's glory in your life? Will you strive? Will you battle? Will you live this out by faith? I pray that you do. On this first Sunday back, we've got so much to be thankful for. It's been a time of suffering, but I want to say that our better days, Wente Anglican, are ahead of us. Our better days are ahead of us, because you're not what you used to be. And God is at work and he's continually changing you. You've got glory days ahead in this life. And glory is coming. You're not yet what you will be. The glory is going to come. And you're being changed from one degree of glory into another. And God's using the bad things in your life to do it. And so, fully enjoy what you were made for. Make much of Christ. Let me pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect life and the way in which he shows us the radiance of you. He shows us the glory of the Father. And Lord, we pray that we, just as the rays of the moon reflect the sun, that we would reflect the glory of Christ in the way that we live our life. Help us to fight to live out this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.